I'd like for you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me to the book of Titus, one of the pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus and Philemon. Titus, one of Paul's sons in the ministry, and we have our Bibles open to Titus. If you have it open there, please, to chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. I want to point something out to you that I think is extremely important. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on this earth, he came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi and asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And as you know, they began to give the answers that men were saying about Christ. Imagine. One of the prophets, Jeremiah, Elijah. But he said, "Whom say ye that I am?" And Peter, of course, as you know, stepped forward and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord Jesus answered back to Peter's answer. "Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The Lord Jesus established the church, this local assembly of baptized believers. And often, people live and die and belong to a church and never grasp the importance of it and its influence. Now, Paul is writing to Titus here in a pastoral epistle and saying things to Titus that we need to hear to make us stronger in what God's given us to do. And I want to point something out to you that people today are sadly overlooking. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is in the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil to say of you." I want you to take the time to mark these expressions in your Bible, and remember they're there. First, I want you to mark the expression in verse 2, the aged men, the aged men. And then in verse 3, chapter 2, verse 2, the aged men. Chapter 2, verse 3, the aged women. Chapter 2, verse 4, the young women. Chapter 2, verse 6, young men. Young men. It won't be long before the modern church today is looking for aged men who know the Lord, who can lead the way, who can do exactly what God says here. What does he say? He says that the aged men may be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith. Somebody has to be the example. Someone has to lead the way. Someone has to know the truth. Someone has to be a possessor of wisdom that only God can give. Someone has to be trustworthy as a counselor to be able to speak and guide and provide what others need. Especially, notice please, the young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. The first thing God says of the aged men, to be sober. Likewise, the young men. How do the young men ever learn to live the Christian life, to combat the world? God has one way. The aged men are to set an example. The older men to set an example for the younger men to follow. And look what he says, if you would please, in verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they in behavior as becometh holiness. And then in verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. And notice in all of it, that it be sound in faith, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So it's the aged women who must provide the example for the young women. If you've got a church that only has young women, you're missing the most important part of the membership. If you've got a church that only has the young men, you're missing the most important part of the membership. It's the aged men who must teach the young men. It's the aged women who must live the godly life to teach the young women. Now, this is what Paul is saying to Titus. Titus is the pastor now in Crete at this time. And God says of the people in Crete, look in chapter 1. He says in verse 5, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I appointed thee." Notice he says, to set in order. These Cretans are problem people. They're like the people we meet in the world today. Notice, please, also in chapter 3, in verse 9, he says to Titus, "To avoid foolish conversations and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they're unprofitable and vain." I want you to mark, please, in verse 9 of chapter 3, avoid. And I want you to mark in chapter 1 of Titus, set in order. God says there's two things that have to be done. God is a God of order. He has a certain order in the world. The world wants disorder. That's what Satan came to do, to disorder things. And his disorder, he wants to become the new order for one's life. But God wants his word taken in the heart and hand of Christians and set things in order. And also to avoid certain things. When I was younger, even as a minister and a young man, I thought it was my responsibility to jump into every conversation and tell them what I thought. But today, many times, you have to pry it out of me. I don't want to get involved in it. Every conversation, every imaginable thing going on. I want to see how many things I can avoid and save what gospel powder I've got, what dynamic I have, what energy I have to do the things that matter. Now, how did I change? I grew older. I matured. I became a wiser person. And so I want you to know, if you slice a church open and see what it's made of, it most desperately needs to be made of aged men, aged women, so that the young men and the young women can get the godly instruction that they need to get. And I want to commend this to you. Never speak disparagingly of the old saints. Never think, "Well, we put them out to pasture." Someone said one time of one of our Christian leaders, "Well, he's just an old person that needs to be put out to sail." And I thought, you're not talking about the person, you're talking about yourself, how insensitive and how ignorant you are. I seek out anybody that served God for a long time and ask them things that I can glean from to become more of the man God wants me to be. And I want you to always make that connection and have the greatest honor and the greatest respect for people who have served the Lord faithfully and reached to be an aged man or an aged woman. Now, I want us to pray about that. And I want us to pray for our people. I recognize that we have an aging world, an aging population. Someone says people live longer than they used to live. And accordingly, you find those statistics to be true. But someone answered back and said, no, we don't live longer. We die longer. Because things that once took the life of a person, maybe in their 60s, late 60s, early 70s, now they can deal more efficiently with that as a health problem. And they may live to a riper old age, though they're dealing with lots of things. God is speaking to them, changing them, wising them up. And you and I need to take notice of this, that we need to sit up and listen to the aged men and aged women and have the kind of church where young men and young women have the deepest, sincerest appreciation for people who have served God faithfully all their lives. Now, I'm going to ask a group of people to come up here, if you would, and I'm going to ask that our men give you something all around. I want them to give you something that we have for you. If you'll pass it out as quickly as you can, and at least every family get a copy of it. And I want you to look at it with me. Just begin to pass it out all around. And don't let them get by without you getting a copy of it. We have what we call in our church the senior saints. Maybe the best thing, Brother Roger, we can do is have some of them seated back in the choir, all of them, and then just come right out here so they're all up here to begin with. And we have senior saints who are still responsible, serving God greatly. And out of that, we have what we call senior shepherds. And the senior shepherds have taken on a responsibility to help the pastor and Brother Roger in the things God has given us to do in ministering to our people. There's a special paragraph we normally include with this that explains all of that. And I want you to know about it. But when you get a copy of this, if you don't have a copy, raise your hand. You might be able to share one with someone near you. There are several people who need copies. There may be some more of them available. But if you can get to where somebody can see it, I want you to see it, if you would please, all around. If there are children and young people who have copies, you can sit with your parents. I want you to give that up and let somebody raise their hand and take a copy of it. Would you please? All around. Now, what we have done, we have taken every aged man and every aged woman in our church that's an active member of our church, and we have asked some of our seniors to serve as senior shepherds with those people, sometimes a couple, sometimes a widow or widower, so that we let them know that we care. Many of them can't ever be here like you're here tonight. Many of them can. But we want them to know they're still a vital part of this church and they're not forgotten. Amen? And so I've asked some of our senior shepherds, if you'll just come as you're seated there, you can introduce yourself. And I want you to see what we're trying to do as we're introducing folks. Bring them on out here, please, if you would. And that's great. That's great. And you'll find their name and their place on the senior shepherd place. And you'll find the people they're caring for under their group. You come along, will you please? And you know, I could say this is Marge and I could say all of that. But I want you to introduce yourself. Come along and introduce your wife and just share on your heart what God's put in your heart. Speak, please, so they can hear you in that microphone.
We're Marge and Gary Rush. We've been here at the church 22 years?
22 and a half.
22 and a half. And we're from Pennsylvania, and we have no desire to go back. I asked Marge the other day if she was wanting to go back to Pennsylvania, and she said, absolutely not. But when we drove out of the driveway with a U-Haul truck many years ago, she said, "I feel like my life's been interrupted." But I want to say, first of all, I appreciate Marge very, very much. She's my dearest friend. I don't know how I could get along without her. And I pray often that she'll go to heaven before I do. So someday you see me laid out down here, don't feel bad about it. That's the answer to prayer, okay? Like the fellow and his wife went to this couples retreat, and the speaker preached on and talked about how we need to tell our wives that we love them. And so they left, and they're going back to their cars there, and she says, "Honey, how come you never tell me that you love me?" He said, "I told you when we got married I loved you. If I change my mind, I'll let you know." Anyway, thankful for my salvation tonight. I'm thankful for the little Italian barber that was a witness and testimony to me at 21 years old. I was searching, wondering. Signed commitments not to drink and smoke the rest of my life when I was 11, 12 years old. And, you know, I thought all this added up to salvation. And at 21 years old, I realized that it's not that. And my life verses, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so at 21 years old, through the testimony of this little Italian barber, I came to know Christ as my Savior. Presently here, these many, many years, I've had the opportunity to serve in the bus ministry. You know, when a person feels the Lord wants them to go to a mission field, they have to go out and raise support and get their support to go to wherever the Lord may lead them. Here we have a bus ministry. The church, you people, furnish me with a bus, a driver. I don't even have to buy the gas for it. And I'm very thankful for the bus ministry and all the good things that happened there. And I'm thankful for a pastor that loves boys and girls and families, you know, that are on our bus route. And glad that we're here, glad that we have the opportunity to serve. Brother Rogers is a great inspiration to me, always has been. For 22 years, I guess, he started working with me on the bus route when he first joined the church. And he's such a blessing, such encouragement. And I think my time's up. You want to say anything?
No, that's all right.
Huh?
You said it all.
I did? Okay.
Marge, we can get you to preach, you know. Come along, Jim. Can you imagine World War II veteran? We just recognized him the other day. Come on up here, Jim. And serving, seeing that our senior folks are cared for, loved, prayed for. Give us a word there, would you please?
Thank you.
You want to stand right in front of that microphone, okay?
All right.
We'll get Roger to help y'all do that.
Well, I might be a little older than you might think I am. But don't tell Janelle. The Lord's been good to me. I was in World War II. Spent the time in there, and I came home. I was fortunate. No scratches. And I married after I came home. I'd been going with my wife, and we were engaged when I left, and she waited for me till I got back. We got married, and then a number of years later, she passed away. And I was left all by myself, and I didn't like that. But a friend of mine came here to church, and I came with him. And I saw this lady, and I was pleased. Don't tell her that. And a little later, we got well acquainted, and we started going together. I asked her to marry me, and don't you know, she said yes. I didn't know what to do. But I've been well pleased, and this is her.
Okay, thank you so much. I'm so glad he said that, because he said, you're going to have to do all the talking. But he's done well, hasn't he, people? Yes. I am so thankful for Jim, and I'm so glad, so thankful that years ago when I was a nine-year-old girl, you know, I think we get saved sometimes from fear. Sometimes we get saved from love. And I had the fear of hell in my heart the night that I accepted the Lord. I did not want to go to hell. Jim has a sweet testimony of salvation. I want him to tell it in just a minute if we have time. But I'm so thankful for my salvation. And then I'm so thankful for surrender. At 16 years old, I was at a youth camp, and I surrendered to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't know how to make all these decisions. Help me. And I think whenever we can get saved, so many people just get saved, but they never surrender, and they don't have the satisfaction of knowing that God is really with you. And then I'm so thankful for supplication, prayer, saying, Lord, help me. My husband prays often, and he'll say when we pray for our meal or any time, but he'll say, Lord, help us to make good decisions. And I'm so glad he says that, because the Lord knows what we need to, the choices that we need to make. And he has a salvation story, too. I want you to tell it real quick, okay? Could you tell it?
Where do you want me to start?
I was 9 years old when I accepted the Lord. He was 13, okay? It was here in Knoxville.
Let's let him tell it.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how many of you remember Mordecai Ham, but he used to tent out on Magnolia Avenue most all the time that I know about. That's where it was. And I had a cousin about my age, and he got saved, and he was telling me what a good feeling it was to be saved, you know, and I wanted to be a Christian too. And I was saved in Mordecai Ham's meeting out there on Magnolia Avenue. Joined a church. We went to a Baptist church, and I joined the church. I was never in the young people's department. I always had a class to teach. I was just young, but I had a class of boys to teach and visit. And that was enjoyable. I enjoyed that. Amen. But I went off to service. And when I came back, I got married. And all was well. But I lost my wife. But not too long after I lost her, I met this other lady.
Yes, and you told us about it, and there she stands.
Oh,
very good, yes. And she's trying to coach you on, but I'm glad. The Mordecai Ham meeting, we had a man who was a member of this church, and he helped sponsor that meeting that you got saved in.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Now, he's been in heaven a long time, and he died as a very old man, but that was one of his things he talked about a lot, and I thank God for you. You know who else got saved under Mordecai Ham's ministry? Billy Graham. Mm-hmm. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
God bless you. Brother Roger, help him here. Come along, folks. Good. Good. Happy for you. This girl's been very sick.
Yes.
Thought she was going to die for a while.
Yes, I thought so too.
Amen. Tell us about what you're thankful for. Good.
I'm so thankful to the Lord for His goodness, mercy, and grace. And I'm thankful, Lord, for that the Lord is that strong tower that we can run to and be safe. And thankful for my dear wife, Heidi. She's gone through a very difficult time with two surgeries. But the Lord has been abundantly blessing all through it, And thanks to the prayers of many, many, many people here and other places that have prayed fervently for her and for her health. And it's been a real blessing. But I also wanted to thank the Lord for the Sunshine Ministry and the Senior Shepherd Program. I thank the Lord for those folks, those shut-in folks, as we call them, that we visit and try to encourage. And they're such an encouragement to us.
Amen.
And we just love them and pray for them.
Amen.
They're such a blessing.
Amen.
And just continue to pray for us that we'll have the strength to continue visiting and trying to be a help and
Amen.
An encouragement to them.
And
if you're not involved in the Sunshine Ministry, may I encourage you, if you have some free time, there was a preacher that mentioned something about if you have free time, spend it on your knees. But maybe spend some on your knees and then come out on Thursday morning and help us visit all these folks. They're such a blessing.
Hollis, we made up our mind years ago that we'd start this Sunshine Ministry because people got to the point where they couldn't get out, mm-hmm. and we wanted to get to them.
Right.
I don't want you to leave here without saying something about how the Lord's touched you and you're able to stand here now, because things went from bad to worse and then turned around.
Yes, I'm so overwhelmed what the Lord has done in my life. When the doctors came to the hospital room and looked at me, and I saw in their face their worry. I saw the face in the nurses, their worry in my husband's face, in my children's face. I knew exactly what they were thinking. I didn't say anything. I didn't want to say it with words, but I knew what they were thinking. And one day I said to one doctor, I said, "Am I dying?" And he looked at me and said, "No, you're not dying. You will be fine." And I said, "Thank you." Then he came back one morning and he said, "Guten Morgen, wie geht es Ihnen? Geht es Ihnen gut?" In perfect German. And I said, "Danke, mir geht's gut." And so the doctor told me, "You know, I'm German. My mother is German."
What do you know?
And he sat down and we talked about Germany, about the German language. And he said, "You will be just fine if you want to." I said, "I want to, I want to." And so from that point on,
Amen.
It went better and better. And I want to say the Lord was there, the righteous one. He was with me.
Yes.
I held on to him, and yes. he said, "Don't lean on your own understanding. Trust me.
Amen.
Trust me."
Amen.
And that's what I learned.
Amen.
Yes.
More and more.
And you did. And yes. God raised her up.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Thank the Lord for
thank
you.
Thank you.
God bless you both.
Thank the Lord
yes,
for Brother Briggs.
Amen. That's right. The doctors can be used of God. Is this yours? Come along, folks, if you would, please. Good. Good. I just want you to give a testimony.
Yeah.
I know you could do a lot of preaching, but we're not going to do that tonight.
No.
All right? Good. Share just a word and let your wife share a word too, please.
Well, I have first of all, my name is Jerry and this is Joanna Brust, and we've been with the church for about 11 years. And I'd just like to bring to your attention Psalm 107, verse 8. "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And I'm very grateful tonight for the joy of knowing Christ as my Savior. I was in Roman Catholicism for 22 years. And during my active duty in the United States Navy, I found out that my faith in the Catholic Church doesn't work. But my faith in Christ does. So I've been wonderfully, wonderfully saved. And I am just rejoicing the greatness of my heart for God's love. And one thing I want to share, just two things. I know the pastor had directed me. And that is the ability to love God. Now, as a Catholic, no. But as a Christian, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart.
Amen.
And that I should love the Lord thy God with all my heart and all my soul and all my mind, and to love my neighbor as thyself. And I can't, that the greatest, one of the greatest experiences of my life is the ability to love God and worship him, adore him, and serve him to the glory of his name. And one way of expression of loving God is the Sunshine Ministry, the joy of ministering to the shut-ins. I have always thought about it as they are the forgotten people. Well, no, no, they're not. God hasn't forgotten them, and neither has his church. And I praise God for that. And I'll tell you, it is so exciting to go into the home like Eleanor Hambly and see the excitement on her face to see us in the fellowship. It just thrills your heart.
Amen.
It thrills your heart. And I would encourage any of you dear ones to join us.
Amen.
We need more out to minister to these precious people for the glory of Jesus Christ. So I share with that. And then my wife has a few words. Come on, sweetheart.
Come on, wife. Good.
Well, I have a lot I could say.
You get to the point.
I'll try, Pastor.
No, that's what you'll have to do today. I want to be very kind to you.
But I do thank the Lord for every one of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. We're together forever. Hallelujah. I love that. And I praise God more than anything the day he saved me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I feel very unworthy, but God blessed me with a godly heritage. I had a great grandpa that came from England. He was a pastor. My dad was a pastor. We were pastors. And I served with my dad and mom many years. They served the Lord for over 50 years.
Amen.
In many places, overseas, a lot of places I've traveled, I'm getting the gospel out to people. And I just thank the Lord for what he's done in my heart and life.
Mm-hmm.
I thank the Lord for pastors and his
Amen.
Wife,
Amen.
That they're the right kind of pastor. They love the Lord and they preach the full truth Amen. Of God. I thank the Lord for this church. It's the right kind of church. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord for the senior ministry. And it's wonderful to let these elderly folks know that they're worthy of our love, our care. And we can point them to let them know that even though they're sitting in a chair, they're confined, that they can be very useful.
Amen.
They can sit there and pray and
Amen.
Pray and pray. They can study the Word of God. They can be an example to all of us. They can give out tracts, and I know that one dear lady, she had tracts right by the door. When somebody came to the door, she'd get her wheelchair over there, give out a tract.
Amen.
So these dear old people, they're useful, and they'd be an example yes. to all of us. Praise God. And I thank the Lord that he, you know, we can always grow and keep growing in the Lord Jesus by faithfully cultivating our prayer life. We always need to pray more.
Amen.
I ask the Lord, help me do that. I need to pray more. And as we grow in Christ, we become more Christ-like.
Yeah.
And it's thrilling to be more like
you
Jesus.
Know, you mentioned Eleanor.
Yes.
Eleanor is one of the most faithful prayer
yes.
warriors we have.
Yes.
Now, she and Al were here every service, yes. just like you are, sitting here. They wouldn't miss a meeting, not a single meeting. He was in a tragic automobile accident not far from here, quickly taken from us. And she grew older, couldn't be here. And now she's praying for us. Great faith in God.
Amen.
You see, it's not just who's in this building. There are people out there that brace this whole thing up with their prayers and encouragement.
Yes.
God bless you, folks.
Thank you,
Great.
Thank
Amen.
You.
I need to let you preach sometime. Maybe have all women's preaching day. How's that? You'll be at the front of the line, won't you? Sammy, come along, will you please? Good. Now, I know you want to preach, but I want you to give a testimony, all right?
Well, I'll tell you what. If I could tell about the goodness of God in 2 minutes, I would, but there's no way. My name is Sammy Hodges. My wife's name is Judy Hodges. Most of you know her. We've been around here since the very beginning of the church. I came here in 1966, back in 1967, and then settled here in 1968. And since then, we've seen some mighty, mighty blessings of God through this church. And we've seen a lot of people saved through this church. And I thank my God that he has given me a part of it, and just a small part of it. But God has been gracious, and he's been merciful, and he's given me a good wife. You know, I've got a lot of things that I could say about my wife. We met by mail while I was in the service, and I met her face-to-face the day that I came out of the service. And 13 months later, we were married. And 3 years later, we had a daughter, and 2 years later, a son, and 2 years later, another son. And so God has been gracious unto me. His mercies and goodness have followed me all the days of my life. Psalms 23, verse 6. And I can't say enough about the goodness and mercies of God. And now recently, this year, I have gone through some very traumatic changes in my life when I developed heart problems. And by the grace of God that I didn't leave this world, but he still had a purpose for me. And I believe that his purpose for leaving me here is found in Psalms chapter 71, verse number 18. He says, "Now, as when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not," and here's the reason, "until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." Amen. And so I think that's why God has keeping me here. And he's in Psalms 37:25, he says, "I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." My children have never had to beg for a living. And thank God he supplied all my needs, and I am so thankful for my heart.
Amen.
For that.
Amen. Amen. Now, while you were in the military, you'd never seen Judy.
I'd never seen her.
She had never seen you?
She had never seen me.
That's a greater miracle. So y'all were riding.
Her sister married a good friend of mine in the neighborhood. And
which time were you in the military? What years?
I was in from 1956 to 1959. And I came out in the latter part of 1959.
Where were you?
I was in I took my training, basic training at Fort Chaffee, Arkansas, and went to Fort Gordon, South Carolina, and took my advanced training in communications, radio communications, and then I went to Germany. And shortly after, about a year later, they transferred me to France, and I remained there until...
Sometime in one of these senior meetings, you need to tell us a little bit more about what France and Germany looked like after World War II and while they were rebuilding everything.
Yeah, but right. God's it was still bombed out when I was there.
Right.
Yes. Amen.
Good to see you. God bless you. Tell Judy we're praying for her. Ken, come along if you would. Now, your wife has had eye surgery, can't be up here, and I appreciate all you're doing. Ken and I have known one another since 1970-something.
75.
And I'm so thankful that he's here. His wife is here. They're just steadfast. I mean, honestly. And involved, just graciously involved everywhere. Tell us a little bit about what you're thankful for.
Well, my wife and I have been here
and been members of Temple since 1999. God led us here to teach and coach at Crown College and Temple Baptist Academy. Psalm 92, 1 and 2 says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." I am thankful for how God has led in our lives. First to be saved as teens and then leading us to train as teachers. God led us to Tennessee Temple in 1975 to teach and serve under the ministry of Dr. Lee Robertson. I'm thankful for our four children, and I'll add this, 11 grandchildren and number 12 on the way. And by his grace and mercy, they're all serving the Lord. I talked to one of my sons today, and we keep track of them. We're grateful that the Lord has led us to Temple Baptist Church and where we have the opportunity to serve under the ministry of Pastor and Mrs. Sexton. And what I'm most thankful for is what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 9:15, "But thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." And we are thankful for the local church. We've been involved in local churches since we were saved. And Highland Park was a great church, and this church is a great church, and we're thankful to be here. And I do thank you ladies that helped my wife in the ministry of bereavement. I know many of you, I see your text messages, and I know you. That's a great ministry, helping in that, and we love being here, serving in whatever capacity we can. Thank you.
It's a blessing. I'm trying to send a message to you. I don't know if you're receiving it or not. I really don't. But I'm trying to send the message to you that as long as you're here on this earth, God wants to use you if you yield yourself to him. You think of all the rich treasure of wisdom and so many other things that our aged men and women bring. Don't ever disregard them. Don't be bored with them. Don't think we've got to get them to the side. We can't make it without them. The young men are never going to become the men they ought to become without the influence of the aged men. And the young women are never going to become the women they ought to become without the ministry of the aged women. This is God's all-wise plan. There's no other way. This is the way God planned it. If you have children, little children, I want you to teach them how to respect older men and women. Teach them how to respect them, how to speak to them, how to be around them, how to answer them. They may be losing a little hearing, how to speak up to them, whatever the case may be. Let your life be enriched. I have told you before, and this is it. Two great aunts saved my life. I was just a little boy in Selma, Alabama, with everything coming apart. But they were steadfast. And they'd spend every evening sitting, talking about the goodness of God. And those things went into my heart and had such an effect on my life. I want you to find someone to pray with you, because we're going to close this meeting this way. I hope it's all right with you, but we're going to do it. I want you to find one of these senior shepherds. We have 14 senior shepherds and all the folks divided among them. They have a specific ministry. And we have Brother Roger working with me to look after them all. We have a certain person designated every day to help me. I work with them on the hospitals. When they go from a hospital to rehab, or sometimes, God help us, to the hospice, we are right there with them all the way through, because I've made a commitment to the Lord. If God will help us, they will not be forgotten.